Please turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Give you a moment to turn there. In Matthew chapter 24, you know, this is really close to when Jesus is going to be arrested. And in verse 3, it says that as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you." Verse 11, "And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many." Verse 24, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Now, that's happening. Right now, this is going on. It's been going on. It didn't just happen overnight. It's been gradual. And Jesus says that they're going to rise. He says false prophets are going to rise. Do you know what that means? It means they've been around for a long time, and now they're going to rise up. Why is it? Why is that going to happen? It's not because God wants it to happen. It's not because God wants people deceived. It's because He's revealing to us what's in the heart of people. And He's revealing to us, you've got people in your midst. You know, Paul kind of wrote about this when he had the ministry conference at Miletus. And he said, when I leave, there are going to be people in your own midst who are going to rise up, and they're going to teach things that are wrong to draw attention to themselves. And some of them he compared to animals that were just going to devour people. Well, here, Jesus is letting us know this is going to happen. Now, how is it possible for this to take place? How? How is it possible for Jesus to give this warning, many are going to come in my name saying, "I am Christ," and shall deceive many. False prophets, many false prophets shall rise, and therefore there shall arise false Christs, false prophets, and so on and so on. How is this possible? Well, I can tell you. It's because people give them an ear. That's it, right there. Because if people don't pay attention to somebody, then that somebody doesn't have an audience to impact. But the reason this is happening is because, and this is the body of Christ, the reason this is happening is because people are giving ear. So why are they listening and receiving? It's one thing to hear it, but it's another thing to receive it. Because if you're not going to receive deception, you don't get deceived. You got that? You understand that? So why is that? Why is it that so many people, and he says even some of the elect, why is that? Well, to be blunt, it's because they flat out don't know the word. They are absolutely ignorant when it comes to so much of the word. That is the only reason this can happen. Because Jesus said, you know the truth will make you free. Okay, well, when you know the truth, the amount of truth you know is directly proportionate to the amount of freedom you walk in. And the amount of freedom you walk in is directly proportionate to the amount of truth that you know. Truth will guard you. And so the only way that the folks he's talking about here are going to be led astray is because they don't know. They are just, every wind of doctrine. They're unstable. At least for a period of time, they have the foundation of the born-again life through faith in Jesus Christ. However, eventually, if they follow after the deceivers, the false prophets, as he describes it here, they will eventually be led away from that foundation. And the Apostle Paul and others give warnings about that in the New Testament. Now turn over to Jeremiah chapter 25. Last week and this week, the Bible reading assignments were Jeremiah. And here in Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 1, the word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, the which Jeremiah the prophet spake unto all the people of Judah, saying to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, listen to this, he says, verse 3, from the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, even unto this day, that is, the 23rd year, that the word of the Lord hath come unto me, and I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but you have not hearkened. So now look at this verse 3. From the 13th year until now, the 23rd year. In other words, 10 years. 10 years, he says, I've spoken unto you, but you've not hearkened. Now pick it up in verse 4. And the Lord has sent unto you all his servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, but you have not hearkened, nor inclined your ear to hear. So it wasn't just Jeremiah. There were others. Now, we don't know the names of all these others. But Jeremiah and others were used by God to rise up and speak to the people. And here's what the people, what the Jeremiah and these prophets were, were saying. Verse 5, they said, turn ye again now, everyone from his evil way, and from the evil doing, from the evil of your doings, and dwell in the land that the Lord hath given unto you and unto your fathers forever and ever. And go not after other gods to serve them and worship them, and provoke me not to anger with the works of your hands, and I will do you no hurt. Yet ye have not hearkened unto me, saith the Lord, that you might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to your own hurt. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, because you have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land, and against the inhabitants thereof, and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them, and make them an astonishment, and a hissing, and a perpetual desolations. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth, and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones, and the light of the candle. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And it shall come to pass, when 70 years are accomplished, that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity, and the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it perpetual desolations. And I will bring upon that land all my words which I have pronounced against it, even all that is written in this book which Jeremiah hath prophesied against all the nations. For many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of them also, and I will recompense them according to their deeds and according to the works of their own hands. Okay, now, Jeremiah is saying, look, for 10 years I have been warning you. And not just me. For 10 years, God has raised up other voices who've been warning you. We've all been saying the same thing. Turn from the sin. Turn from the evil. Repent and do what's right. In other words, go back to obeying the law. He said, but you know what? He says in here, you haven't heard. Now, they heard, but they didn't receive it. In other words, he spoke it to them, and they dismissed it. And they just continued doing what they were doing. Now, this went on for 10 years. And Jeremiah says, well, you know, you've pushed God to the limit, and now here's what's going to happen. The king of Babylon is going to invade. He's going to be taking you folks captive. And you're going to be captive for 70 years. You're going to lose everything. And obviously, in 70 years' time, a lot of people are dying. I mean, we're talking about almost the entire population. It's just that during the 70 years, you had new folks that were born, you know, children born during that time of 70 years of isolation and captivity. But he says, look, this is what's going to happen. And, I mean, it's at the point now, it's too late. It's going to happen. You've had 10 years to get it together. And you didn't do it. Well, you pick this up in chapter 26. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word from the Lord, saying, thus saith the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house, and speak unto all the cities of Judah, which come to worship in the Lord's house, all the words that I command thee to speak unto them, diminish not a word. If so be, they will hearken, and turn every man from his evil way, that I may repent me of the evil which I purpose to do unto them, because of the evil of their doings. And thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord, if ye will not hearken to me, to walk in my law which I have set before you, to hearken to the words of my servants the prophets, whom I sent unto you, both rising up early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened, then will I make this house like Shiloh, and will make this city a curse to all the nations of the earth. So the priests and the prophets and all the people, look at this, the priests, the prophets, and all the people, see that? Heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. The people are going to church. See this? They're going to church. They're not skipping church. They're, you know, as we would say it, they're there every Sunday, every time the door is open, why they show up. They're in church. Now it came to pass, verse 8, when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak unto all the people, that the priests and the prophets and all the people took him, saying, thank you so much for this warning. We shall repent. Break out the communion. Now, what do they say? Thou shalt surely die. Thou shalt surely die. Why hast thou prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, this house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without an inhabitant? And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah, where? In the house of the Lord. See that? Now here's the deal. Do you understand that in the Jewish culture, and you've heard this before, from childhood up, they were taught the law and the prophets. So when he stands up, Jeremiah, and really any of these other prophets and so forth, stands up and says, okay, look, you have rebelled against God, you've turned against him, and you have refused to obey the law that he gave to you through Moses. Therefore, here comes judgment. Why should that be such a shock to them? Why should that be something that they would say, well, we don't believe it? If you go back and you read, in Deuteronomy, God told the people, if you hear my law and you do it, here are the blessings that will happen. And just goes through all these blessings. And God says, but if you refuse to obey and you do your own thing and you reject my law, here's what's going to happen. And part of what he warned was that their enemies would come in and take them. Now, that goes all the way back to Deuteronomy, centuries before this. And so Jeremiah says, in essence, okay, look, what God told you was going to happen back there in Deuteronomy, you know what? It's happening. It's happening now. So get ready. And the people said, you know what? You're going to die. why hast thou prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying that this is going to happen? And the people gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. Everybody's in church. Everybody is faithful. Everybody's doing what they believe that they should do. And they refuse to accept what Jeremiah is telling them. Well, if you look in chapter 27. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, thus saith the Lord to me, make thee bonds and yokes, and put them upon thy neck, and send them to the king of Edom, to the king of Moab, to the king of the Ammonite, to the king of Tyrus, to the king of Zidon, by the hand of the messengers which come to Jerusalem unto Zedekiah, king of Judah. And command them to say unto their masters, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, thus shall ye say unto your masters, I have made the earth, the man, and the beast that are upon the ground by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and have given it unto whom it seemed meet unto me. And now have I given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and the beast of the field have I given him also to serve him. And all nations shall serve him and his son's son until the very time of his land come, and then many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of him. And it shall come to pass that the nation and kingdom which shall not serve the name of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and that will not put their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation will I punish, saith the Lord, with the sword and with the famine and with the pestilence, until I have consumed them by his hand. Therefore, hearken not ye to your prophets, nor to your diviners, nor to your dreamers, nor to your enchanters, nor to your sorcerers, which speak unto you, saying, ye shall not serve the king of Babylon. Now, let's stop right there. Do you realize when God gives this list in verse 9, he's talking primarily to the Jews. And God is comparing the Jeremiah opposers, you know, I'll put it like that. He's comparing them to diviners, dreamers, enchanters, and sorcerers. That's how God sees it. And he says, don't listen to them. Why not? Verse 10, for they prophesy a lie unto you to remove you far from your land, that I should drive you out and ye should perish. But the nations that bring their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, those will I let remain still in their own land, saith the Lord, and they shall till it and dwell therein. I spake also unto Zedekiah, king of Judah, according to all these words, saying, bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, and this people will live. Why will ye die, thou and thy people, by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence, as the Lord has spoken against the nation that will not serve the king of Babylon? Therefore, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that speak unto you, saying, ye shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie unto you. For I have not sent them, saith the Lord, yet they prophesy a lie in my name, that I might drive you out, and that you might perish, ye and the prophets that prophesy unto you. Also I spake to the priests, and to all this people, saying, thus saith the Lord, hearken not to the words of your prophets that prophesy unto you, saying, behold, the vessels of the Lord's house shall now shortly be brought again from Babylon, for they prophesy a lie unto you. Hearken not unto them. Serve the king of Babylon and live. Wherefore should this city be laid waste? But if they be prophets, and if the word of the Lord be with them, let them now make intercession to the Lord of hosts, that the vessels which are left in the house of the Lord, and in the house of the king of Judah, and at Jerusalem, go not to Babylon. For thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the pillars, and concerning the sea, and concerning the bases, and concerning the residue of the vessels that remain in this city, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took not when he carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, from Jerusalem to Babylon, and all the nobles of Judah and Jerusalem. Yea, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, concerning the vessels that remain in the house of the Lord, and in the house of the king of Judah and Jerusalem, they shall be carried to Babylon. And there shall they be until the day that I visit them, saith the Lord, and I will bring them up and restore them to this place. So now what's happened? Well, Jeremiah He's saying, okay, look, you didn't listen to me before. How about listening to me now? And here's what the Lord wants you to hear. Don't listen to the people that stand up and prophesy in the Lord's name that these things aren't going to happen. Because God hasn't sent them, they're lying to you. And if you listen to them and do what they say, it's just going to bring hardship and disaster into your life. Don't listen to them. Well, we pick this up in chapter 28, verse 1. And it came to pass the same year, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth month, and in the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Azur, the prophet, which was of Gibeon, spake unto me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests, and of all the people, saying, okay, where are we right now? We're in the house of the Lord, right? And the religious leaders are there, and it's a full house. The people are there. And here stands Hananiah, and he begins to prophesy, and he says, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Now start right there. How do you think the people felt when they heard that? Yeah. Yes, praise God. Do you hear that? Do you hear that? He's broken the yoke. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Well, you know that's what people were doing. You think they sat there silently while he's speaking? When they hear that the yoke of the king of Babylon has been broken, you think they just sat there and yawned and slept through the whole thing? No. You would have heard people cheering. And he continues. And he says, within 2 full years will I bring again into this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them to Babylon. The cheering and rejoicing and praising is increasing. And I will bring again to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah that went into Babylon, saith the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Then the prophet Jeremiah said unto the prophet Hananiah, in the presence of the priest and in the presence of all the people that stood. Now the people are standing. See what's happened? Yeah, Hananiah is getting a standing ovation. And Jeremiah says, verse 6, even the prophet Jeremiah said, amen, the Lord do so. The Lord perform thy words which thou hast prophesied to bring again the vessels of the Lord's house and all that is carried away captive from Babylon to this place. Nevertheless, hear thou now this word that I speak in thine ears and in the ears of all the people. The prophets that have been before me and before thee of old prophesied both against many countries and against great kingdoms of war and of evil and of pestilence. The prophet which prophesieth of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord hath truly sent him. Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke from off the prophet Jeremiah's neck and broke it. And Hananiah spake in the presence of all the people, saying, thus saith the Lord, even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within the space of 2 years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. Well, then what happened is, after that, the Lord told Jeremiah, go back to Hananiah and tell him, you lied. Well, in fact, let's read it. Verse 12, then the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the prophet, after that Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from off the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, go and tell Hananiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, thou hast broken the yokes of wood, but thou shalt make for them yokes of iron. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron upon the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him, and I have given him the beast of the field also. Then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah, the prophet, hear now, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee, But thou makest this people to trust in a lie. Therefore thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die, because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the seventh month. Now, look at this. Hananiah is referred to as what? A prophet. See that? What that means is, and I tried to find as much information as I could about Hananiah, but it's almost impossible. I mean, there are several Hananiahs in Scripture, but this one, there's almost no information. However, the way this is written, it implies that Hananiah was a prophet and recognized as a prophet. Now, if you had been there in Jeremiah 28, if you had been there that day, who would you have believed? Now, it's going to be easy. We can say, well, I'd believe Jeremiah. Yes, sirree. I ain't going to be fooled by no Hananiah. Yeah, well, you know what? How do you know that? Well, because I know what happens. No, wait a minute. Hold on. I know. We've read the back of the book and we win. I get it. They didn't have this back then. They were living the moment. So if you had been there that day, what would you have believed? Who would you have believed? See, anytime a prophet comes along and declares good times, there's a tendency to believe that prophet. But whenever a prophet comes along and says, you know what, you people have messed up big time, the hand of the Lord is against you, and there's nothing you're going to be able to do to stop it now. False prophet! You shall die. Isn't that how it goes? Nobody wants to hear the bad. Everybody wants to say, I am doing well and I'm okay in the eyes of God. Everything's fine. And you have churches out there right now where this is happening. Everything's okay between God, me, and my husband. Well, yes, sir. But according to the Word, what's in the Word? Don't you understand? And then you start prophesying along Romans chapter 1 and just see what happens. Yet you become the false prophet. You become the Jeremiah to them. As far as they're concerned, you can die. Now, they probably won't kill you themselves, but they might even pray and ask God to take you out. And He won't. He's not going to listen to people like that. See, this guy Hananiah, he wouldn't have said this if he didn't think he was right. So therefore, when he stood up and began to prophesy, because he's recognized as a prophet, the people would have listened to him. It's Hananiah. You know Hananiah? Yeah, he's the prophet. And so when he stood up and began to speak, the people would have given him attention. They would have listened to him. And what he said contradicted what Jeremiah said. And yet the people, you know, here they are. Here's Jeremiah. We know what he's been saying. Here's Hananiah. And okay, we serve God. We serve Jehovah. We have the law and the prophets. We have Abraham to our father, so God is going to honor the covenant. Yeah, Yeah, Hananiah, he's got to be right. And Jeremiah, he's got to be wrong. Who would you have believed? You know what? The correct answer would be, I really don't know. That should be our correct answer. Why? Because we weren't there. And these people attended church. And these people were used to hearing Hananiah. Now, I don't know how many times Hananiah would have prophesied, but he had a legacy. He's the prophet, Hananiah. Bring this home to today. When Jesus gave us that warning in Matthew 24, All we have to do is go back and read what we just read tonight, and we're going to understand how easy it is that people are going to follow the voice of the false prophets. Because we're not talking about somebody who nobody knows who they are today, and then tomorrow we wake up and they've got a following of millions. It's not like that. These are false prophets who are going to rise up to greater levels of prominence in the eyes of the body of Christ. We've had so many of these prophecies over the years. Just within the last 10 years, remember all the blood moon prophecies? Do you remember hearing about that? I'm not going to name names, but some of you know exactly what preacher I'm talking about primarily, and he wasn't the only one. There's wrote books. The blood moon, and here's what's going to happen when the blood moon rises, and here's what, and just went on and on and explaining in great detail, using scripture, blah, blah, blah. Guess what? None of it came to pass. None of it. And yet, I don't know how much money came in through the sale of all those books, but I'll guarantee you, it was a pretty penny. And none of it came to pass. The truth of the matter is, when none of it came to pass, every person who bought that book should have sent it back in and said, I want a refund, including the shipping. I want a refund. Because your book was a lie. And that's what it was. It was a lie. You know how a lot of these people get away with that stuff? Here's how. Well, yes, but you don't understand. It happened. But it happened in the spirit. No. You didn't say that in your book. No. You said such and such was going to happen. Don't you dare cop out on me right now. Just don't do it. All these prophecies about when Jesus is going to return, you'd think Christians would learn, would figure it out. Jesus himself said, no man knows the day nor the hour, not even the Son. You would think people would accept the Word. And when these prophecies, he's coming, they give you a day and an hour and so forth, but they never tell you what time zone. Now, that sounds silly, but I'm serious. He's coming back at midnight. Okay, Eastern? Because if he comes back at midnight Eastern, what time is that in Australia? What time is that in Russia? I'm sorry, but your prophecy, as soon as they put a time to it, that prophecy is a lie, and they didn't get it from God. That's a pretty simple litmus test right there. Plus, nobody knows the day nor the hour, but every time somebody with a voice declares something like that, people buy into it. Who's the Antichrist? Oh, we've heard prophets for years talk about the Antichrist is this one, that one, and the other. It's like, so far, all those people have died. Well, maybe not all of them. Not the most recent ones, okay? But nobody comes back and holds these people accountable. The voice of Hananiah is strong in the earth today, strong in the body of Christ. What about the elections? Good, glory to God. Every time there's an election, people are prophesying, this one's going to win, this one's going to win, that one's going to win, that one. And think about the last election, how it went. So-and-so is going to win, so-and-so is going to win, so-and-so is going to win. Well, guess what? So-and-so didn't win. Then they come back and they say, well, no, you don't understand. So-and-so really did win. And the results are going to be overturned. And then they start telling you in how many days and how many weeks. And by a certain date, the election is going to be overturned. Got news for you. It didn't happen. The election was not overturned, and it's not going to be overturned. All those people lied. Now, they didn't think they were lying, I hope. It's like Hananiah declaring, thus saith the Lord. Hananiah truly believed he heard from God. All these prophets that prophesy these things truly believe it's going to happen. And yet, it hasn't. These prophecies that have come out, end time prophecies. Well, something happened. Something's going to happen in such and such country, and that's going to cause this to happen over another country, and then this is going to happen over here, and that's going to happen over there, and then blah, 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 etc., and so forth. And guess what? Not one of those has come to pass. Not one. Although, I do know somebody who I wouldn't necessarily call a prophet, but I know this person, and he would call it a prediction. He predicted about 20 years ago, maybe 15 to 20 years ago, he predicted that a worldwide plague was going to spread and that its point of origin was going to be China. Now, he said that. He also talked about what's happened. He talked about, he predicted that China was going to rise as a military power and be a major threat to the United States. He also said that China's economy is going to become so very strong. He also said that China was going to infiltrate our security systems in the United States. And he also said that the economy in China was going to start to implode. Have you been reading the news lately about China's economy? Yeah, I mean, I could go on about what this guy has said. He's a personal friend of mine. No, I'm not giving you his name here. He's a personal friend of mine. He won't call himself a prophet. But now that guy, if he comes back and he tells me, I think such and such and so in this country, I'm going to pay attention to him. Even though he doesn't... Oh, and he is born again and spirit-filled. Yeah, he is. You know... there's a guy who's considered a prophet, and I saw this. I was a witness to this one. He made this prophecy, and I'm obviously not quoting word for word, but basically what he said, for those of you, God has told me, for those of you who are obedient to God in your tithing, that this particular increase is going to take place in your life. Now, that's the summary of what he said. And as I'm watching this, I'm thinking, that's not true. That's not true. That is not true because of what you're connecting the Old Testament. That is not true. And yet, that guy is still held in high esteem. It's not the first time he's been wrong about things. But people still clamor to him. And every now and then, there are people out there, they send me links, you know, to this person, to that person, to what, and I don't do it. I don't want to hear it. I don't want, because they can speak truth, but it doesn't mean that they're always going to prophesy the truth that God has given to them. You know what I'm saying? You know, I've had people come to me, the Lord has showed me that you will be preaching in my church. And I try to be polite about this, and no, he's not. He didn't show this to you. I remember one time I was over in Kenya ministering, and somebody came up to me and said, the Lord showed me that you will be coming to my church and ministering. He meant when I was finished ministering that week, that I'm just going to come on. I said, well, no, that's not going to happen. Yes, you know, you can change your flight, and the Lord showed me that. And I said, no, that's not going to happen. No, it's not. I'm sorry, I don't mean to offend you, but that's not going to happen. The Lord has shown me that you're the man to come to such and such, and no, the Lord hasn't shown you that. Because if the Lord is going to show you that, then he's probably going to give me some kind of a hint that he wants me to do it. I had somebody here not too long ago, and if you're watching, sir, I apologize, but you know what you said? I'll just tell you what happened. I got this a little while ago. It wasn't that long ago. We're talking a few days ago. Sent me this prophecy. I prophesy that in 30 days, you're going to have, you know, this great increase and this great overflow. And I thought, well, that's interesting. I replied back to this person and I said, a great increase and a great overflow of what? Now here was a reply of grace. And I'm thinking, you know, anybody could say that. Of grace. I'm sorry. You know, don't play those games with me. Here's the problem. A lot of folks, look, I don't know everything. And I'm not as far along in God as I could be. But I'll tell you one thing. I'm not some kind of a novice like I used to be. And some of these people out there, they must think that I just buy into all this stuff when they say it. I don't. I flat out don't. Now, I try to be nice to folks when they do things like this. But an overflow and an increase of grace, well, how am I going to know? Because at the end of 30 days, that guy could come back and say, you got it, you got it. I said, well, I don't feel anything. Oh, but it's not what you feel. It's grace. You, God told me He sent it to you. Okay, well, praise God. Father, thank you for all that grace. But do you see how easy that is to say, in 30 days, God is going to move in your life in a special way. Well, what does that mean? So in 30 days, you know, you find a dollar laying in your front yard. It's like, glory to God, the prophet was right. This kind of stuff goes on, guys. And here's the deal. We are, when I say we, the body of Christ, we are so willing to do everything we can to make a prophet look good that we'll grab a hold of anything and say, yeah, this was the coming to pass of the prophecy. We'll do anything to say that because we just don't want to believe that somebody would say something in the name of the Lord and be that bad wrong. We just don't want to believe it. Matthew 24. Yeah, same thing. What Jesus is warning about. So here's the deal. You know, we had somebody in here one time speaking things. It was so wrong. I mean, it caught me off guard. You know, a guest preacher. Everything had been going fine. Then all of a sudden there's this one service. It's like, good glory. And I told her, after the fact, you know, that person's never coming back here again. They won't come in and sit and listen, fine. But they are not speaking from this pulpit ever. That's it. And yet we had people in this church who heard her and believed what was said without comparing what was said to the Word of God. They took what that person had spoken versus what God had spoken in His Word. We've had people here in this church for years. They heard teaching on spiritual growth, praying in tongues, meditation, so on and so forth, for years. But then they still left, and the reason for it was because they're listening to the prophetic words of other people who out there, social media, TV, radio, whatever it is. And here's the thing. How many warnings can you give people before finally they start listening? See, just because you attend a church like this one or a church like the prayer center down in Immokalee, Pastor Bronx Church, or you know out there in Tulsa. Just because you attend a church like that doesn't mean you're doing anything other than attending that church. Just because you're attending a church like this one, it does not mean you are protected from accepting false prophecy. Doesn't mean it at all. There must be a doing of what is taught in order to guard your heart against being led astray. And that's why some people have left. They weren't doing it. Oh, yes, I was. No, you weren't. No, you weren't. Don't tell me you were. You weren't. Now, some people have left for legitimate reasons. I understand that. But it's the same thing that's happened down at Pastor Bronx Church. It's the same thing that happened out in Tulsa. And the reason I know that is because when I hear what these other, what the leaving people have said, and I realize that doesn't line up. That does not line up with what you've heard. And I know what you've been taught because I've heard what you were taught. And what you're saying, it doesn't line up with this. So yeah, you sat and you listened, but you did not have ears to hear. You were dull of hearing. Because when you are sharp of hearing, you know what you're going to do? You're going to start applying what you've heard.
You're going to start praying in tongues. You're going to meditate in Scripture. You're going to do this. Do you remember when Jesus was talking, and again, I'm big time paraphrase here, he basically said, part of the result of my coming is going to be homes are going to be divided. Remember that? Yeah. Do you realize everybody in this room, everybody watching and listening, you face the possibility of your home being divided. When I say divided, I don't mean just I can't stand to be in the same room. I'm talking divided to the point of even divorce, of separating like that. Why? Because truth, remember the Word of God? It's sharper than a two-edged sword. All right, if you aren't in unity in your home, in pressing into God, guys, the warnings are in Scripture. It could devastate your home life. Because if you don't do what you've heard, how are you protecting yourself against the deception? Jesus has warned. Really, you know, Jesus gave this warning, and then you read on to like things that the Apostle Paul wrote, reiterating these warnings. See, we don't really take this seriously. Now, some do, I know that. But it's like we have this thing, well, I know I'm not going to be deceived. Okay, well, how do you know that? Well, I just know me. I mean, I know, I love the Lord. So did Hananiah. And he died because he led the people in a lie. That means more people were listening to him than to Jeremiah. Well, guess what? 70 years later, people knew. Can you imagine that? Here you are in Babylon with your family. And you got your grandkids now. And they're, you know, Grandpa, you know, did you always live here? No. At one time, I was living in, you know, Jerusalem. Well, why are we here? Well, it's because, one, we rejected God's law, and two, we listened to Hananiah instead of Jeremiah. Now, that's the short and sweet of it. But that's what happened. And it wasn't just Jeremiah. There were others as well. Today, right now, today, there are the voices of Jeremiah are speaking to the body of Christ and saying, you better repent and turn from all this stuff and embrace the Word of God and live the Word of God, or stuff's going to happen. Well, remember, from the moment that God started warning Israel about bad stuff, it was longer than just the 10 years, because there were others before Jeremiah who were warning people. And so for years go by, and the people, well, ain't nothing happened today. Well, ain't nothing happened today. Well, nobody dropped dead today. You know, everything's all right. But then guess what? They hear the sound of hoofbeats. They hear the invading army. And it's too late then. I don't care. I'll guarantee you, though I wasn't there at the time, I can pretty well guarantee you that the moment they looked up and they saw the armies of Babylon, people were dropping to their knees crying out to God. Too late. You had your chance. Too late. Now, we're headed to the book of Revelation. And I would say that humanity has its hand on the doorknob of Revelation. You understand what I'm talking about there? Now, this stuff's going to come down. Now, I don't know the fullness of how it's all going to happen. What I am telling you is this. God has made a promise that He will be with those who are with Him. It doesn't matter what goes on. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of Revelation, you will be with me. And we know that in Revelation, there are Christians, they're going to be martyred. It's in there. But here's the thing, guys. I would rather die being obedient to God and not involved in sin than die as a result of judgment for my rebellion. So this brings us to a question. All these Matthew 24 false prophets, and a false prophet doesn't have to be a person who's specifically called a prophet. It can be somebody who's called a pastor who prophesies. But all those Matthew 24 people that Jesus warned about, and that are in the world now, and that are going to rise, okay, will you know the difference? When they speak great swelling words, will you know the difference? Will you be able to discern? And we can sit here and say, well, yeah, you know, I will. I think the best answer would be, I am going to continue pressing into God. I'm going to keep praying in tongues. I'm going to keep meditating in the Word to prepare myself so that I will know the difference. Because I don't want to make an arrogant statement right now and say, oh yeah, I'll know the difference. I want to assume I might not know the difference. So I'm going to keep pressing in, and I'm going to keep pressing in, and I'm going to keep sowing the Word and sowing the Word in me, and I'm going to keep praying in tongues, and the Holy Ghost is going to work with me and strengthen the conscience of my new nature, so on and so forth, so that I can be prepared. Because, guys, it's happening right now. And every now and then, let's just say there are some people out there, Christians, that I thought were more stable in their walk with God, but when I find out who they're listening to and whose messages they're forwarding, I'm thinking, man, oh man, do you not know what you're doing? Do you not know who's impacting you? A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. A little. So guys, listen, take this message to heart. The voice, there are many voices of Hananiah in the world right now, and they're going to increase. We must tune in to the voices of Jeremiah. You understand the symbolism. And prepare our hearts, prepare our minds, prepare ourselves spiritually, because this stuff's going to happen. And I do not want to be one of those who ends up being deceived. I want to stay on this path with Jesus. And I think you do too. Praise God.